Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for our world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello, and welcome to Love to You All. I'm Catherine Galligan, and I am your host. And today, I would like to talk about how to find love for a difficult person in your life after he or she has passed away. I just wanted to share with you how I was able to heal my heart and be more present with the love that I have for this person versus being left with the hurt I felt, you know, not only while he was alive, but even after he passed away. So it's a pretty specific topic. I know there are people out there that have dealt with this, where they've lost somebody that was a difficult relationship, and then you're left without any closure, you know, and kind of wishing that you had a do-over. So that's at least how I felt. And because of that, I want to share you this story about my late older brother, Pierce. So allow me just to set the stage a little bit. Growing up, I just had the one older brother. Pierce was about 6 years older. And our parents had him when they were pretty young. And they knew that they wanted to have more children, but things just weren't working out for them. And so 6 years later, along comes Catherine, you know, by way of adoption. And, you know, now we have this family of four. Okay. So my brother and I, we were far enough apart in age that we didn't have the circumstances to bond super well. So like we were never in the same school together at the same time. You know, like by the time I was going to elementary school, he was in junior high. And by the time I got to junior high, he was going off to college. So we just didn't overlap in that setting. And there wasn't a whole lot of hanging out going on between us. And we could chalk it up to being different genders and different ages, different interests, definitely very different paths. And sadly, the older that we got, we had even less in common. And when we were kids, you know, I really looked up to him. He was my big older brother, and I thought he was hilarious, but he was also bad. Like, he got in trouble a whole lot. Meanwhile, I was this kind of goody-two-shoes nerd. And how our dynamic worked is I would stick up for him or back him up or cover for him or bail him out. You know, just stuff like this, right? Actually, that pattern went on for the whole rest of our lives together. And my brother, he became an alcoholic, like a bona fide alcoholic. And I don't mean like a light, high functioning person that holds it together, you know, keeps their jobs and their finances without just letting it all go down the tubes. My brother was the type to let it all go down the tubes. And he did, kind of over and over. He was just super self-destructive. And it was, I mean, oh, he would get in these situations where he basically would need to be rescued. And I don't mean financially. I mean, like, he would be on the brink of death's door and just like on the streets, and we'd have to, you know, find him and dust him off and get him checked into a rehab and get him cleaned up and sobered up. And that pattern, it just kept repeating. And often it was me and my mom who would do this rescuing business for him. And needless to say, that's just, it's not how I envisioned our adult lives when I was a little girl. You know, when I was a kid, I was imagining that like I would get married and he would get married and I would have kids and he would have kids and our kids would play together and there'd be all these cousins and lots of fun and family gatherings would be this big old barrel of laughs. Well, no, that's not how it was, because my brother struggled with alcoholism the whole of his adult life. And you know, it probably started in college, how it can for some people, you know, you go off your freshman year and you just party yourself silly. Well, he did that and he flunked out of college and he did eventually graduate, but that drinking pattern like was now established. Okay. And he did manage to, like, he got his degree and he did get jobs, you know, but his alcoholism, it just got worse and worse as he aged. He never had children. He did have several wives, kind of only to lose them all. And I mean, life was really hard for my brother. And it was also hard for us to have a relationship with him because he just wasn't available for that, you know? At some point, he was diagnosed with type 2 bipolar disorder, and he was considered rapid cycling. So, you know, without being a mental health professional, what I can tell you what that meant for me is he would alternate between mania and depression pretty quickly, like even sometimes within the course of one day. And so when he would have these manic episodes, they were a pretty big deal. And so just keep this in mind for later in my little story here. But before we knew this about him, before he had his diagnosis, you know, my experience of my brother, the majority of the time, like when he wasn't in trouble, this is like when we were kids and we were living in the same house, is that he was, you know, so fun. Like he was fun and he was super funny. He was really charming. I mean, you know, he had a way with the ladies. He was very charismatic and he made people laugh. You know, he was just, he was magnetic. I mean, he was super entertaining and he could captivate your attention. So I have fond memories of this person. Okay. It's not, you know, I'm painting this really bleak picture, but it's not all bad. Okay. But things, they did go downhill. Okay. So now just fast forward and I'm an adult and I'm married and, you know, I live in a home in the suburbs and I've got little kids. But meanwhile, I have this older brother that doesn't really know any boundaries that are healthy. Like he didn't seem to be aware of how to respect my new nuclear family's needs. And so he would just kind of, you know, barge in whenever the mood struck him or whenever he would, you know, be in an emergency or he needed rescuing or something like that. And I used to want to be my brother's savior. Like I kind of, I think my ego liked that role. I liked rescuing him and saving him and helping him. And that seemed to win over his affections by me just being there for him. And, you know, by a certain age, you know, and when I had my own family to take care of, and that wasn't as possible anymore for me to do that for him. I could even see like it was a pretty unhealthy pattern and I had to start drawing some lines. So, you know, over time, those lines, they just seemed to get a little thicker and a little thicker. And our relationship was, you know, it was pretty strained. I mean, not to mention when someone's drinking as heavily as my brother did, they're not available. They're not available in the way that, you know, I was wanting him to be at the time. And he was really stuck in this pattern of, you know, getting put in a rehab, sobering up, getting out, relapsing pretty quickly, like, you know, within a month, and then start, you know, drinking again until he went really, really downhill, like way down the tubes. And then that pattern would just start over again. Let's, he get rescued somehow, get put in a rehab and like, and you know, around the hamster wheel we went. To his credit, like he had a couple of stints where he had a longer stretch of sobriety than a month, but they were kind of rare. It is really fair to say that for the majority of his adult life, he was an alcoholic and a heavy duty one. Okay. And so it was, that was sad. I mean, that was hard for me to deal with as his sister. And I just, it was hard for me to understand like how he could be so self-destructive. Okay. But, you know, meanwhile, I'm living my own life and I'm raising children and I don't necessarily have it in me to be there for him the way that maybe he wanted me to. And one day in particular, this is when it really mattered. My brother called me on the phone and I was driving home from yoga class, you know, all serene. And I'm in my car driving and like, oh, hello, Pierce. Hi, how are you? And he's like, Catherine, our mom's been kidnapped. And I could tell he was really riled up. I immediately knew that he was in one of his manic episodes. And I also was pretty certain that my mom had not been kidnapped. But my brother, meanwhile, he was convinced that this had happened because he couldn't get a hold of her. And so when that happens, he just starts to get agitated. And And this was the case. He was super excited and he was all up in arms. Like, you know, he had a missed calling, I think, as being a cheerleader, honestly, because he had a talent for riling up the crowds. But, you know, this is what he's trying to do with me while I'm driving home from yoga. And I'm not having it. And so I'm like, Pierce, our mom is fine. Let's just wait a little bit. We can call her later. But that did not satisfy him. So he calls me back. And he tries to re-enroll me in his level of concern. And I'm still not buying it. And he calls back, and he calls back, and he calls back. Okay. And so after multiple calls, I'm starting to lose my patience. And so I tell him, hey, you know what? This conversation's over. You know, I'm going to end it here. I'll call you. Don't call me. And that wasn't the best move on my part because it just enraged him. And so now he starts yelling at me. And now it gets really ugly, okay? And how I handle myself is I match his energy. And so I'm just as mad. I'm just as loud. I'm screaming. And it was probably one of the worst conversations I've ever had with a human being ever. And I want you to know that that was actually the last conversation that I had with that human being. So I hung up the phone. I was really upset, just so upset. And to the point where I'm shaking and I pull over off the side of the road. I'm still holding onto the steering wheel, but my whole body's like shaking. Okay. And I even called my mom, who, by the way, was fine. She had just been at church. And I told her what had happened. And I'm like, Mom, I can't do it anymore with him. I've had it. I've reached my limit. And she's like, oh, I just don't understand why you two can't get along. And I'm like, oh, you know, now I'm upsetting my mom. Great. And so it's like this whole big thing. But I was pretty clear. I was just like, Mom, I can't do it. And she seemed to understand that. And so she didn't include us group activities anymore. And this went on for months. And I didn't speak to him again. And so a lot of my spiritual friends were like, you know, good for you. Way to set some boundaries. You know, you don't need to be in a toxic relationship. And it's like, okay, yeah, but he's my brother. And I love my brother. And in an ideal world, you know, I want to be able to talk to my brother.
This episode is brought to you by my brand new online membership for women called Emerge. Inspired by the Year of the Snake, Emerge is a very special container for women ready to become not only bigger, expanded versions of themselves, but also the highest frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. If you're ready to live a little bit more out loud and step into your power, Emerge is for you. It is a year-long commitment where every month, like-minded women gather together to become even more powerful. It includes a masterclass, lots of learning, and lots of support. I'm your mentor, and I cannot wait to get started because we're going to have an incredible year together. You can find more information to register linked in the show notes. Until then, I can't wait to see you become part of Emerge.
Neither one of us ever came around. And about 10 months after that conversation, my brother died. And so what happened was, I think his body had just caught up with him. He had put it through so much drinking. He was at a restaurant, so the story goes, and I think he had ordered a martini or something like that. And he collapsed at the table. They called an ambulance and he was taken to the hospital where he went into a coma and he never came out of it. And so, you know, my mom and I, we had to make the decision after a couple of days to take him off of life support because things weren't changing. And within a day or so after that, my brother died. I was sad. Not everybody was sad, but I was even more bereft by the fact that our last conversation was so awful, like Guinness Book of World Records, awful. And I had so much regret and guilt and shame and grief, and I would have loved to have had a do-over. And so I could see where maybe you might be thinking, gosh, that is too bad, you know, poor Catherine.
I wish she could have gotten closure too, you know, and now he's gone and now there's nothing she can do. And so here's where I'd like to change the tide. It's like, wrong, you know, and please listen up, because for some of you, this might be a little out there. Some of you, this will land, but just hear me out, because this could be a pretty major resource for healing your heart and finding love for someone who made it almost impossible for you to do that. And so it might be an ask, but believe me, it's worth it, because this is what proceeded to happen for me. And just keep this in mind too. Like, there's so much that we can't see. There's so much that we can't know, right? We're so limited as humans to what we can perceive, you know, basically to our five senses, right? But there are intuitives and channelers and mediums and psychics out there that are maybe a little bit, have a better developed sixth sense. And so they are in tune with other realms that, you know, for me, it's really not that available. So I'm really grateful to these kinds of people, because I attribute the healing that I went on to have with my relationship with my brother to them. So, you know, just by virtue of owning the yoga studio, I became acquainted with a whole other metaphysical world, you know, and that included people like I just described, mediums, you know, intuitives, psychics, people like this. And so because my whole world expanded in that way, my heart did too. You know, I have a few friends that they're mediums. And when you have access to them, you can have access to the other side if you choose it. And that is how I first got reacquainted with my brother. So here's the story. I was innocently going to psychic night. Okay. So where I live, and this was actually taking place in McKinney, Texas. Okay. But every third Thursday of the month, they host this event called Psychic Night. And it's a lot of fun. So side note, if it's something you ever want to do and you're local to me, this is, you know, available. I'm sure it's available where you are too. But I went to Psychic Night. And so I sign up for my psychic reading and I'm waiting for my turn. And I get escorted over to this table where she's sitting with all of her cards and her crystals and stuff. And so I had specific questions about my personal life and how it pertains to my future, you know, and I wanted this person to predict my future basically, but we don't ever get to it because a spirit crashes my psychic reading. And so who do you think that spirit was? Well, it was none other than my brother Pierce. So, you know, it's kind of funny, like even on the other side, he still has characteristics that he did when he was alive. That's what he would have done. He just would have been obnoxious and barged in and inserted himself into a situation, even though he wasn't invited. It was pretty funny to watch her reaction too. She was like, hold on, because I think somebody else is here. There's a spirit here that really wants to talk to you. He's a male. His name starts with a P and he's really rowdy. He seems like an alcoholic. And I mean, she was basically describing my brother. And so I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. I'm like, yes, I think I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about here. And so I was like, well, what does he have to say? And she's like, so she tells me a story that only he and I would know. Okay. So I pretty immediately know that it's him. And now I'm hanging on every word that this woman is saying. Like, I'm hooked and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is real. Like, I can't believe it, but I can believe it at the same time. And so what he goes on to say is that he was so sorry that that was the last time that we spoke, and that he wanted me to know that I was right and that he was wrong. And he was so sorry, but more importantly, that he loved me. And then he was gone. And so, man, that shook me up. Okay. And so I'm sitting at this table, you know, and this woman's staring at me with like bug eyes because she's just watching me react. And I don't even remember now what I wanted to ask her, because I was so overwhelmed with feelings of love and with peace that my brother was with me. And I can't explain it. It was very powerful. And I'm kind of a doubting Thomas. Like, I'm the kind of person that wants hard evidence and scientific proof. But in this case, no one needed to convince me of anything. And I'm just like, Wow. And it was a lot to take in. But nonetheless, that was the very beginning of how my relationship with my brother started to change. Okay. So now fast forward to the next time that I'm, you know, having another psychic reading again, he comes in to crash the reading. And, you know, sometimes I just wanted my guidance, you know, from this person, but he swoops in and he has his own ideas of what's important. And this time he's letting me know that whenever I see a certain species of bird, to know that that means that he's with me. And so I kind of like that, because whenever I'm out in nature and I go for walks a lot, I'll see that particular bird and I know that he's with me, and it's very comforting. And so, you know, there were more visits, you know, over the years, there have been more messages channeled. And, you know, essentially every single time, he's giving me a big fat message full of love for me from him, you know? Now, if you knew what our relationship was like while he was alive, that's not what you would have guessed. You know, you would have thought he was like on the other side, you know, wishing me ill will. Well, no. And I remember I heard once from a woman who had had a near-death experience that, like, our biggest adversaries here on Earth are actually like our biggest cheerleaders once they're over on the other side. And I actually think that's true. When he was alive, I know that he knew that I loved him. And I knew in my heart of hearts that he loved me. We had a really hard time expressing it. You know, just the ego identities that we were stuck in, we could not find a way to relate to each other. I really struggled to understand his behavior. Never could quite connect. The relationship that we did have, the majority of it was fairly unhealthy. What I hate is the fact that he had to die before we could find the ability to express our love for each other in such an unbridled way, the way that we do now. Thank heavens that I have these friends in high places that can channel spirits of people that have passed on, like my brother, so I can heal my heart. As an adult, I was so sad by the constant state of my relationship with my brother. It really brought me down. This not happened at this psychic reading, I would just still be sitting here with, first of all the feelings of like regret and shame and guilt, but also, you know, wounds from my brother that I kind of collected over the years. And I would have felt hurt, you know, but now all I feel is love. And so, you know, and it's mutual, you know, it's not even just coming from him because he's not stuck in a body anymore. I mean, it is not one-sided. I feel so much love from my brother. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's almost unexplainable. I mean, I wish he were here physically, but he's not. I just know that he's with me all the time. And, you know, the proof is in the birds. And my message to you is that I just don't want any of us to think that the buck stops when somebody dies, because it doesn't. You know, it just keeps going. And I think that's one of the best gifts that I've ever received as a still living conscious human being, you know? And I wish that everybody could have that gift. And my message is that, man, you can have that gift. Now, you need to be open to it. You might need to seek out a medium or go to psychic night or something like that. But I think even if you just understood what I said earlier, that whoever your example is of an adversary, you know, whoever gave you a lot of grief while that person was alive, that person is your biggest cheerleader on the other side and loves you so much, it's shocking. And so maybe just knowing that is enough for you to heal your heart, you know? And hopefully that's all you need to just become this frequency of love for this person. It is available to you. It's available to me too. Like I now don't feel like I need to go to psychic night to talk to my brother. I mean, I feel like it's just constant, you know, it's whenever I want it. But because I did get this do-over, you know, I'm so grateful. And that reframe on our relationship has been tremendous, even for how I handle current relationships that I have with people who are alive. So that is what I have to say. That is what I wanted to share today. You know, there's something about maybe just a little bit of woo-woo can help you heal your heart, okay? And so my hope is that this actually sits well in your heart. And I hope that it gives you hope, you know, for anyone who's still maybe mourning or stuck in a not in the best place with someone that they're grieving. So if you liked this episode, please share it. You know, we all know somebody that probably has lost a loved one like that. And if you don't mind rating the show, if you're liking it, that positive rating that is, and leaving a review, it's super duper helpful. That, you know, I just really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this. And I hope you hear these messages. They truly are straight from my heart. This is as pure as it gets. And so if I don't know you, know that I have so much love for you anyway. And if I do know you, I'm going to try to remember to tell you the next time I see you, okay? So until we meet again, so much love to all of you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.